Hello everyone, Pastor Phil Beatty from Hartford City Church again. Today we're at the third part of our series on Luke chapter 4 verses 1 through 13, the testing of Jesus in the wilderness by the devil. We've looked at the first two temptations of the devil, for Jesus to turn stones to bread, and for Jesus to bow down and worship Satan in order to gain the kingdoms of the world. And we've learned that the Word of God, staying connected to God, is more important than producing bread, and worship of God is more important than worship of anything else. In fact, we're only supposed to worship God, worship Him and worship alone. So we stay connected to God through His Word, and we worship God alone by putting Him first in our lives. So today brings us to the third and final temptation of the devil to Jesus. And before we begin, let's again say a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you again that you went through everything we experienced so that we might have strength from you to resist the devil in our own lives. As we look at this last temptation, give us the wisdom and the courage and the ability to resist the devil in every area of our lives so that you may be glorified in you alone, Jesus Christ. We pray this in your name. Amen. Again, going back to Luke chapter 4, we're going to begin with verse 9. So the devil led Jesus to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered, it is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. So in this third temptation, we see the devil taking Jesus to the highest point of the temple, and he says, jump. The devil even uses scripture this time, reminding Jesus that the Bible says God will send his angels to protect him. The devil challenges Jesus to put God to the test, to prove that the word of God is really true. He wants Jesus to needlessly put himself in a position to test God. Likewise, we know that God's word is true, or we want to believe that it's true, but sometimes we want to see proof. And it's one thing to pray to God to keep his promises, but it is wrong to make demands of God. So when we get to the point where we're demanding that God prove himself, we betray our lack of trust in him. And also, like Jesus resisted, we don't need to put ourselves needlessly in a situation just to prove that God is real. In fact, Jesus, in essence, I believe, is saying, don't test God, but trust God. You see, we can be confident of the promises of God without demanding proof. A great example of this kind of faith is a story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were three young Jewish men who were captured by Babylon, taken to live in that city and to serve under King Nebuchadnezzar. Well, King Nebuchadnezzar had made an idol of himself out of gold, a statue, and he commanded that everyone bow down and worship this image of him. And if they didn't, then there would be severe consequences. So when a certain music was played, everyone was supposed to bow down, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bow down. And so King Nebuchadnezzar was furious. And because they didn't bow down, he sentenced them to die in a furnace of fire. But they were confident that God was able to save them, and they believed that he would. In fact, they told King Nebuchadnezzar that their God was able to save them, and they believed that he would deliver them from his hand. But even if God didn't, they still would not serve as gods or worship the image of gold he had set up. I think that's so awesome that they were confident in God regardless of the outcome. They knew that God would protect them. They even said, God will deliver us from your hand. But they were willing, even if not. You see, their confidence in God was not a demand of God. They knew that if for some reason God chose to let them die in that fiery furnace, they would still serve God. They would still trust God. It wasn't testing God. It was trusting God. Jesus also knew that God would protect him. He knew that the scriptures Satan quoted were true and that God would send his angels to protect him. But he didn't need to put God to the test to prove it. And neither do we. You see, God will always be with us, no matter what happens. God will act on our behalf when and where we need it, according to his will. God is not going to perform a magic trick just to prove his existence to us. God is real, whether we believe it or not, whether we realize it or not. So I challenge you today to resist that temptation to make demands of God and simply learn to trust in God. So in all three of these temptations, we see that Jesus shows us that reliance on God will help us to resist the temptations of the devil. We need to stay connected to God, meditate on His Scripture, worship God by putting Jesus Christ first in our lives. That means giving more time and energy to Him than anything else. And finally, we need to trust God, not test God. We need to have faith in what we can't see, what we can't prove. So again, I believe the three lessons we learn from the temptations of Jesus by the devil is, number one, stay connected to God by meditating on His Word. Two, worship God by putting Jesus Christ first in our lives. Three, trust God, don't test God. And I challenge you today to put your trust in Jesus Christ, in Jesus Christ alone. You know, one of the great prayers we have in the church is the Lord's Prayer. And the Lord's Prayer is what Jesus gave His disciples when they asked Him to teach them how to pray. And we know this prayer, many of us, very well. It goes, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Again, reminding us that our provision comes from God. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In fact, the actual word in the original language is the evil one. So really it should read, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. You see, we need to be delivered from the devil, delivered from Satan, delivered from our accuser. And that should be our prayer to God each and every day of our lives. God will allow us to be tested and tried, but He doesn't tempt us. And we pray that we might not have to be in the place where we're undergoing the temptation as Jesus did. But if we find ourselves there, we know that we can ask God to deliver us from the evil one. So I hope that you will resist the devil in your life today. And I pray that you will always seek the presence of Christ to strengthen you, to encourage you, and deliver you. Today, I'd just like to conclude by just asking you to think about what you might need to be delivered from. Is there anything in your life that is holding you, oppressing you, keeping you down, maybe hindering you from fulfilling God's purpose in your life? I ask you just to make a simple prayer right now. Say, Jesus, deliver me from the evil one. Jesus Christ, deliver me from, and then fill in the blank, whatever it is you need deliverance from. And know, friends and family at Hartford City Church, that I am constantly praying for you as well, that the Lord may truly deliver you and deliver us all, so that we might together fulfill God's purpose in our lives and also in our church and in the city of Hartford. May God bless you and keep you today. And I look forward to seeing you again soon. God bless.